بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Today just discuss just a few pages of this kitab, The Road to Medina Munawwara. Very beautiful kitab written by Sheikh Abu al-Hasan Ali al-Nadwi rahmatullah alayhi. One of the great ulama of India and from Nadwa, Nadwatul Ulama, Darul Ulum is Nadwatul Ulama, city of Lucknow in UP. He wrote this kitab and he was amongst, or he was that personality, passed away in 1999, Ramadan, Jumu'ah, just before Salat al-Jumu'ah. And when he passed away, then they made announcement in the Haramain Sharifin. The Sheikh Abu al-Hasan has passed away, and he will perform his Salat al-Janaza in both the Harams. So that blessed him with such honor and dignity in the Arab lands also. So how he reached there? Now we have children also, what tarbiyah to make. We want them to become great ulama also, become leaders of mankind, become beacons of hidayat. So he writes this about his own upbringing. So the title of this chapter, the book whose favor I will never forget. So Sheikh Abu al-Hasan Ali Nadwi, he says, that today I will speak about a book whose favor was and still is very great to me. How his heart was captured by kitabs, and which kitab it was first. Today we give our children different books to read, coloring book that is there. And when we were young, they gave us all the stories, Humpty Dumpty, and different things, etc. We had to read, check on the beanstalk, whatever it was. Right? Beanstalk, huh? Jack and the Beanstalk. And all these things over here were at that time. And see what impression he left on the mind. So Sheikh Abu al-Hasan Ali Nadwi rahmatullah alayhi, see what he says. They are always conveying mercies to his great writer, who gave to me a gift. So this book, which is the most treasured in my heart after Iman, in fact, is one of the parts of Iman. The book I am referring to is Sirat Rahmatul Alameen Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The Sirat in the life of the mercy to the world, written by Qazi Muhammad Sulaiman Mansur Puri Rahmatul Ali. This was the kitab here at first, and the impression it had on his mind. That is why Hazrat says also, if you want your children to have good character, and morals, etiquette, Iman, they must study from young the Sirat of Nabi Ali Salat. There's nobody more perfect than him. They want to learn perfection in Iman, they have to learn about him first. There's a charming background to this book. My elder brother, right, he's Dr. Sayyid Abdul Ali Al Hassani. He was the principal of Nadwatul Ulama in Lucknow. He passed away 28 Zul Qa'dah 1961. So Mawlana Abu al-Hasan Ali Nadwi said, my elder brother, who had taken charge of my upbringing and education after the demise of my father when I was 9 years old, he was just 9 at the time, was fully inspired by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to select books which I ought to study in my early years. The first book which he gave me to read was the book Sira Khair al-Bashar. Khair al-Bashar, the best of mankind, was the Sira of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It was written by an Indian author. My brother was very eager for me to study many books on the life and biography of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he knew that it was the greatest influence in molding character, entrenching beliefs, character, and planting the seeds of Iman. Now we hear these old character building and all these things down, and they send them for different workshops, etc., and psychologists, etc. They send them to all these things to build character, confidence. All right? But all this is found in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Consequently, I grew up with a love for books on the seerah and was very eager to acquire and study them. I used to eagerly read the book catalogs. Before we had catalogs of kitabs, even for ulama in madrasa, it would come 3-4 pages and 10 pages also. Kitab name, there's a book, there's a box there. So you tick it if you want this kitab. Then you send via post. Then you pay for it. Alright? Now it's all online. So he says, I used to eagerly read the book catalogs which publishers and booksellers used to send out. Like how you find before also, when it used to come, unfortunately, Christmas time, then all these toy catalogs used to come in the paper. Then you see all the toys over there. And now you're dreaming now, I'll buy this car and I'll buy that car. Alright, so I don't know if the children see those catalogs anymore now. Alright. One occasion my eyes fell on the name of a book, Rahmatul Lil Alameen. I sent an order for the book. As a young boy, he sent an order for this kitab. of which two volumes had been printed. Two volumes had been printed. My limited budget, talking about a 19-year-old boy. So he ordered the kitab via post. We say nowadays via take a lot. Right, the young boy got hold of his mother's father's phone on take a lot. He found a kitab, he ordered it. That day must come. So he said, I sent an order for the book of which two volumes had been printed. My limited budget when I was just 11 or 12 years old was certainly not enough to purchase this kitab. But little children, especially in the era which I am speaking about, do not understand the rules of budgets and economics. 11, 12 year old, he knows now. He said, order the kitab, it will come. COD. Now they don't know whether they get COD anymore. Cash on delivery. Get COD.
Yeah.
I guess take a lot. No, take a lot. Before in the businesses, you have COD. They are merely led by the innocent wishes and emotions. Young children, 11, 12 years old. He wants something, he wants it. So he says, one day the postman arrived with the book together with other post, which he normally brings to our small village, which was in Dera Shah Alamullah, Ray Bareilly. Ray Bareilly is a village about 80 kilometers from Lucknow. That is where he was staying. A little village. I realized I did not have the money to pay him for the kitabs. My mother, may Allah bless her life, excused herself from paying the money despite her eagerness to please her orphan child because she did not have that amount of money at the time. The kitabs came, but she can't afford it. So he says about his mother, the one that made his tarbiyat was his mother. Single-handedly, she sent him Darul Ulum, and the letters she would write to him, to my beloved Ali, Sallamahu, may Allah keep you safe. She would advise him about half a page, and I think, I don't know how many pages thereafter, only du'as for him. And what a mot, as I mentioned now, when he passed away, then they made Alan, they announced in Haramain Sharifain. Imam Abu al-Hasan Ali has passed away, but he is janazah in both the harams. He passed away in India. He says about his mother, she passed away after this article was written. On 6 Jumad al-Ukhra, 1388. My mother, may Allah shower his mercy on her, was a unique woman who had memorized the Quran Sharif, so she was a hafiza, and used to compose poetry. She wrote several books and an emotional collection of dua wa munajat. She wrote a kitab on du'as. So she didn't have the money. She was a widow. Child is orphaned, and he purchased kitabs. Now there's no money to pay for the kitabs. I looked around and found no support and no intercessor at this important juncture except the intercessor which children constantly resort to. Now who's gonna intercede on his behalf? And you know children, when they want something, what intercedes on their behalf? Children know that this is an intercessor who is never refused. It is the same intercessor which the young Umair bin Abi Waqas radiallahu anhu resorted to. Thus Rasulullah s.a.w. accepted the intercession and allowed him to fight in the battle of Badr. He was a young boy. Rabbi Fallah to come also. He said, you can't come, you're underage. And he burst out crying. What was the intercessor? The masum tears of a child. Melted the heart of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. That intercession is tears and innocent crying, which is highly regarded and heard by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his righteous servants. So did it happen in my case. The heart of my affectionate mother softened. She made some efforts to obtain the money for the kitab, handed it over, and accepted the book from the postman. I began reading this kitab, and he began shaking my heart. As an 11, 12-year-old boy, give them the kitabs and the sirat, the life of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So began shaking my heart. It was not a violent, jerking shake. Rather, it was a gentle, affectionate shake. My heart began swing and rejoicing like a flower-laden branch swing in the morning breeze. Subhanallah. Reading about the sirat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Shaykh Abu al-Hasan al-Nadwi was a great author. You understand now how he describes things. His kitabs are in Arabic also, which we teach in the Darulum. So he's very highly renowned alim in the world. This is a distinguishing difference between the shaking which is caused by books written on the lives of brave men and great conquerors and the shaking which is experienced by books written on the life of the greatest messenger, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The first shaking attacks the heart from outside and jerks it, while the latter, that is the sirat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, emanates from within, not from the outside, from within the heart of a believer and conveys comfort and solace to him. My heart began responding to this kitab and absorbing it as though it had been waiting for it. I perceived a unique enjoyment in the cause of reading this kitab. It was an enjoyment which was different from all other enjoyments which I had known in my childhood. Add to it the fact that I was very perceptive from an early age, very intelligent. It would pick up very quickly. It was not the enjoyment of a delicious meal that one is hungry, not of wearing new clothes on the day of Eid. That was enjoyable, new clothes. How the boy feels now. Got new boots for Qurbani, got a new overall or new kurta for Qurbani, how he feels. And every night look at the boots, he's waiting for Eid day now, when he's going to put it on. Sometime he'll ask him, okay, just wear it in the house a little bit. Just want to see whether it's fitting or not. That enjoyment in the heart, how it flutters. See, it wasn't even like that also. Not of playing when desiring to do so. Not of a holiday after continuous studies and preoccupations. Not of winning a match. And not of a visit by an old friend or noble visitor. It was an enjoyment which was unlike any of these. It was an enjoyment whose taste I knew but could not describe. I admit I cannot describe it accurately and express it with the correct word even today. What I was feeling within my heart reading the seerah and the life of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. The most I can say is that it is an enjoyment of the soul. What do children not have? Says what? Do children not have souls? And do they not perceive spiritual enjoyment? Children also perceive spiritual, but we don't bother. They also feel it. I take a child now to a qirat, jalsa. And thereafter you see how he's doing qirat in the car. He felt it. There was something there of the Quran. I used to imitate that qari, how he reads. So they also feel a spiritual enjoyment, but we don't allow them. We don't take them, now they listen to everything else, and the taste buds, the spiritual taste buds, is spoiled after that. When they expose to other things. They most certainly do, by Allah, innocent children have more sensitive souls than adults. More sensitive souls than, that's why we tell the mothers and fathers, don't take them to the mosques. They're going to see all the sins, they're going to hear all the haram, they're going to see all the haram, they're going to spoil the spiritual taste buds. Now we say, I don't know what's wrong with this child. Like there's jadu on him. You put the jadu, you took him to a haram place, he saw these things, now he has to jump like a monkey everywhere. He says, what, AD something, huh? AD? HD. Now you put him on meds now, to cool him off a little bit. In reality, you should be taking it. Why are you going there? Why are you jumping to go to this place? Don't take him there. Now you took him there, he's going to jump. Now you put him on meds, then you see he's slow, he can't pick up because already you bogged his mind. Now his mind is there. Now give him a kitab, he don't read it now. So from young already we gave them, never exposed it. The biggest qurbani is for the parents. When they send the child to madrasa also, hifz class, we tell the parents, biggest qurbani is yours. You put him in the hifz class, please take care of this heart. Because Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is a right wahi of his heart every night, and he's learning sabak. So keep the heart clean. Our parents give incentive and perks. If you learn your work, we'll give you PlayStation. Inna lillahi. If you learn your work, and you finish your hifz quickly, you buy your cell phone. Inna lillahi. Now, how are you going to gel these two together? And then, alhamdulillah, there are many families too. Their children haven't seen these things. The girls don't have cell phones also till they get married. The young boys too don't have cell phones. Nothing happened to them. They're not backwards. Alhamdulillah, they know everything. Allah, this is a pure life. Hazrat tells us also. The one is a youngster who's seen everything. And then he changes his life. But he saw all the haram, experienced it. Now he got hidayat. Now he changes his life. And one is a youngster, alhamdulillah, that grew up with taqwa. He said, they'll never be equal. They'll never be the same. He is, mashallah, his heart is pure. He never saw any haram, never perceived it. And one is a youngster that changed. Yes, he might seem a bit stronger now because he came from a very dark background. Now he's very strong. Other youngster might not be so strong, so to say, outwardly. But his mind and his heart is clean. He has no inclinations that what this boy is fighting, so he's pushing so much of ibadat just to keep him on the right track. So one is now, right, you have a recycled, or what engine you put there? Huh? Refurbished. Recon. What is a recon engine, right? Sometimes you get conned also. So they put a recon. What is the original? Is that the same? Is never the same. So Hazrat says, they most certainly do by Allah, innocent children have more sensitive souls than adults. And more accurate perceptions, even though they cannot express themselves, but they understand things. In this astounding and delightful book, I would read about some of the Quraysh who embraced Islam, and how this resulted in severe torments descending upon them. They would then bear all these torments and punishment with fortitude and patience. In fact, with joy and happiness. A young boy reading this for the deen of Allah, they went through all this qurbani and sacrifice. Consequently, I would feel that there is an enjoyment which is not known to many wealthy and powerful people, and people who are considered to be fortunate and lucky, they don't know about this enjoyment. This is something else now. This is enjoyment of making qurbani for the deen of Allah. That is linked to the heart, not to the body. It is when you have to bear a torment in the path of truth, suffer oppression for the sake of your beliefs, and be humiliated in the course of inviting towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the joy of power, victory and authority is nothing compared to this joy. See Gaza? Right, what they're going through, we say, shame. We say, we're not giving up. We still have smiles. And this sanuqawimu, we would resist. Sanusalli fil aqsa, we read salah in aqsa, we'll get there. Right, we'll say, finish now, we need to leave this country. Right, we say we need to emigrate. They say, we're not going anywhere. We're staying here. What they enjoying? Right, they say, child is shaheed, that one is shaheed, that one is shaheed. Are we not moving anywhere? And imagine what they enjoying, and they know all these incidents of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. So Hazrat said, the joy of power, victory and authority is nothing compared to the joy of sacrificing and the love of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. I saw in my heart, Abu Hassan al-Yanadwi, he says when he read this kitab on Sirat, I saw in my heart wanting to have the good fortune of this enjoyment to something else. What he's saying now, I taste good food, sweetness of family life and everything else, but this was something my heart was yearning for, to sacrifice for Allah. This was different. Enjoyment and sweetness altogether. So he says that I saw my heart wanting to have the good fortune of this enjoyment and this honor, even if it was just once in my entire life. When you were in Pakistan, also coming to the end of 1 year, so when Alim al-Ruhul Qist, rahmatullah alayhi, very high kalam alim, very high on tawakkul, he told us openly, in my house they don't cook food. Allah Ta'ala says cook food every day. I told my wife, who I'm taking from, you also take from Allah. Two rakat salat you must take from Allah. Openly told us, he says, Allah sends the food every day. So Ajib thing he told us, when we came to the end of our year, so he asked us during this 1 year, did you ever taste hunger? He said, no, Hazrat, a lot of ikram the whole year. Thirst, we said, no. He said, I feel so sorry for you. Then I understood this. I said, Hazrat, why? He said, all the stories of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, what they enjoyed in the path of Allah, of hunger and thirst, what the enjoyment they experienced in the path of Allah, on hunger and thirst, for you as ulama that know these incidents will only be a story and quote the Arabic and translate imana out of bayan. He said, you never know the reality. You never know the reality. You have to go in the path of Allah and taste the difficulty. Now you give that incident. Now it's different. Now it's different. Then Hazrat says, when Abu Hassan Ali Nadwi, I read the story of Mus'ab bin Umair, the youngster of Makkah Mukarrama, very affluent, mother was very rich, and he accepted Islam quietly, and then his mother locked him up in the room, can't go out, and she would threaten him. And they say when he would walk in the gully of Makkah Mukarrama, they knew he walked past here. Only foreign perfume used to wear, right? Foreign mal. Even his clothing also was imported. The best dressed and the most smart lad of Makkah Mukarrama. So he says, I read the story of Musab bin Umair radiallahu anhu, the same Musab who was in an icon of opulence and elegance when it came to his clothes and luxurious living. He was a fine youth of the Quraysh. When he used to come out for a walk in Makkah Mukarramah, he would be wearing clothes which used to be estimated at 100 dirhams. 100 dirhams presently right now is about 5,000 rand. 200 dirhams, dirhams is a silver coin. The 200 dirhams equals to the zakat nisab, about 9,000. So you can say 4,500 rand, that time he was wearing clothes like that. 100 dirhams. Young boys would follow him. And he would be the talk of the town. Musa bin Umair. I'm reading his story about this youngster. But once he places his hand in the hand of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he dusts his hands from the luxuries of and comforts. He now wears coarse clothing and lives a simple life of abstinence. There are times when he has to hold together his sheet with thorns of the acacia tree. No buttons. The scene causes Rasulullah to shed tears, and he thinks of the soft and luxurious life which he used to lead. When this youngster was martyred in the Battle of Uhud, he gave his life. He was the first Sahabi to make hijrat. When the Ansar asked Nabi Ali Salatu Salam, O Nabi of Allah, send to us a muallim, a teacher that will teach us. So Nabi Ali Salatu Salam sent Musab bin Umair. You go first to Medina Munawwara and you start the Maktab Madrasa Darul Umde. So Asad bin Zarara, Usayd bin Hudayr, then he lived amongst those people there and he gave them da'wat. And they all began to accept one after the other. And he began to teach Quran Sharif in Medina Munawwara, and he started the entire Maktab system there, you can say. The Nabi of Allah came thereafter. So he was the first Musab bin Umair radiallahu anhu. So when he was martyred in the Battle of Uhud, he had nothing but a sheet on his body from where he was, only a sheet on his body. And that too, it was so short that if his head was covered as a janaza, his feet would be exposed. The coffin wasn't enough for him also. And if his feet were covered, his head would be exposed. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam eventually said, cover his head with the sheet and place idkhir. Idkhir is a fragrant grass. Idkhir on his feet and cover the feet with grass. That's how he left this world. But he says that enjoyment and sweetness of iman, I wanted to feel that also. If these Sahaba ikram enjoyed opulence like this, how come they gave it up now? To give their life for Allah, it's a different level of sweetness. As Hakim Sahab will say, rahmatullah alayh, that if the kings of the world knew, the kings of the world that are sitting on their thrones, and their crowns that are giving them dard sar, he says the crowns are giving them headaches. It's so heavy to hold the head because they can't turn around. They just now signal with the fingers only. Alright? He says because the crowns are so heavy. He says if they know that the awliya of Allah sitting on the torn sacks, what rivers of Allah's muhabbat and love is flowing through their hearts, he says they will give up their thrones and they'll come sit above us. They give us a share also. Full our containers, full our hearts with the darya of muhabbat, with the sea of Allah's love in your heart. He says they can't buy it. They have to sell all of that, give it away to get this. So this now Shaykh Abu al-Hassan al-Nadwi is saying this as an 11, 12-year-old boy. The first I started reading was kitabs. Then this shook my heart inside. When I read this incident of Musab bin Umair, it took over my heart and captured my soul. Now imagine now he's writing this in his old age. But he remembers so clearly as a young boy, the first kitabs he read in Sirat and how it molded his entire heart and his mind. So you see, I read this incident. It took over my heart and captured my soul. I realized that behind a life of opulence, elegant clothes, exotic foods, and palatial homes, man has another need which the wealthy and the kings have not understood. There is an enjoyment which those who follow their desires and demands of their beliefs and demands of their bellies do not know about. When I examined myself, I found it desiring this need and yearning for this enjoyment. Not just of elegant clothing and soft beds and good food. I found it having more value and worth for this reality than what it has for the clothes of the wealthy and the hollow manifestations of opulence. I read the story of the immigration, the hijra of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from Makkah al-Mukarrama to Madinah Munawwara. I do not think I read a more powerful story and a more beautiful portrayal of the story which the author relates with honesty and simplicity. All right. Rasulullah enters Madinah Munawwara. The hearts of the people are clinging to him and their eyes are staring towards him. One tribe after the other comes over to him and says with genuine sincerity and honesty, Ya Rasulullah, come live with us. Everything, our numbers, our preparations, our defenses is at your disposal. Rasul is coming from Quba, Taniyatul Wada. They all came front. We have a tribe here. We've got accommodation here. We've got everything here sorted out. Please come and stay with us. Come and stay with us. Now imagine as a young boy, he's eating all this and he's now picturing it in his mind. Now, little he realized at that time, where Allah is going to take him. Alright, as you mentioned before, so Shaykh Abu al-Hassan al-Nadwi, that even the Saudi government will send a special plane to pick him up every year for the washing of the Kaaba Sharif also. Be amongst those that is to enter the Kaaba Sharif every year to wash the Kaaba to Allah. Allah has given him such honor. He's telling you now how he reached there. That's why we tell the boys in Darul Uloom also, among the awliya that we knew that has passed on, Yunus Patel Sahab Rahmatullahi. Allah for this khabar. So most of our youngsters that come into our Darul Uloom, they're from Durban and surrounding, talking 15, 20 years ago. So I would tell them that your mother sent you, your father sent you here, because he saw Maulana sitting there, Madison Road, mashallah, on his swinging chair. And how Maulana would just say one things and he would cause earthquakes in people's hearts. And say, Hazrat Kaaba, Hazrat Kaaba. So what are you saying? Shaking the hearts of people. So I'm sure your parents are making dua. Allah Ta'ala make you all the Yunus Patel of the time. But Yunus Patel Sahab, he didn't wear his girl socks and jammies and t-shirts and caps. He had a way of life. That's how he reached that position. Our Sheikh Rahmatullah Ali, Nizamat Barakatuh, they also had a certain way. So mothers have to understand also. If you want my son to become the Sheikh Abdul Hamid of the time, right, or the Yunus Patel Sahab of the past, and the ulama of the Zamana, then they have to follow the same route. We can't expect them to put them on a different route, but you must reach there. Is it going to happen like that? They saw their asatiza, saw their mashayikh, and their mashayikh, and the same thing came down. And they followed suit. And they followed the same way Allah Ta'ala put them on the kursi. And when they spoke, like how Hazrat Thani would say, Rahmatullah alayhi, is when I qualified as an alim, I was full of josh. He said, I sit on the member and give bayan. He said, my khub hilta tha. I said, Sheikh, along to the member. People just look at him, how he's moving. His actions, this, that. Like he has something on the YouTube and how. He said, what a show this is. There's more actions than talk and flowery speech. All I would say, jawbreakers and boom bang and everything else after the bayan. You don't know. What a top. As I say, it's true. People say, what a top bayan. Imam Mahana said, yeah, I can't remember, but it was top bayan. Yeah. Said, it was a good act. It was a good, but really, what we learned. We know it was simple bayan, something hit the heart. We took something back home. Simple bayan, see, English wasn't very grand. Grammar too was alright, presentation, but there was something in that bayan that hit me. Other one would hit you, the few isharas and gestures and here and there. So their bayans are from heart to heart, what you're speaking about. The Tami Rahmatullah, Jazakallah Khair. He says, my khub hilta tha. I used to shake only on the member. People just look at me. Look at him, how is he carrying on? He said, then I found my Sheikh. Then I found Haji Imdadullah Mahaji Makki Rahmatullah. I put my hand in his hand, then I stopped moving. Then I sat down quietly. I started giving the bayan, copy and paste. As Hazrat told us also, when he was here in Durban, Hazrat Kim Sahib was here, Rahmatullah Ali. Hazrat took bayat, Hazrat Kim Sahib in Spingo. Then Harun Abbas Umar Rahmatullah's place. They said, I went back to Johannesburg. 1 week, whatever Hazrat was speaking was lingering in my mind. He says, that Jummah had bayan at Krugersdorp. Hazrat would go there very often for Jummahs. So he said, I prepared my bayan. I went there, but when I sat down to speak, whatever Hazrat Hakim Sahib spoke the entire week, only that came to my mind. Nothing else was coming to my mind. He said, then something started happening to me. Something here. So in the same way, the Talmi says, Rahmatul Ali, he said, I stopped shaking. And I started giving a normal, sat down, what I heard, I'm relating the same thing. The eyes sort of stopped shaking and the people started shaking. I said, what are you talking? Where you got this from? What are you saying? He said, it started hitting their hearts. And I was just saying whatever I learned. Copy and paste. This is the barakat now, when a person is connected. So here in the same way, Hazrat says now. So he says, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replies, to the people that came, to the tribesmen that came, come to our place, we will host you. He said, may my parents be sacrificed for him. Give way to it, give way to this camel. This camel is under the order of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. It then sits at the spot where the door of Masjid al-Nabawi is today. Babul Baqi, that area they sat down over there. The camel refuses to get up from there. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had already decreed that this unparalleled honor should go to none other than Hazrat Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu anhu, came by his house. There is a markings there outside the Haram Sharif. Come on from Babul Baqi, you turn to your right and you turn quickly again, you see the marble work there, the tile is a bit different. That was the exact spot of the house of Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Then he said, I was reading about Hazrat Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu's joy at this honor which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala conferred upon him, and his devoted hospitality, which he showed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As I was reading all this, I found my heart leaving me. Young boy now, I found my heart leaving me, and joining the camel of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and entering Madinah Munawwara with him. I felt as though I was witnessing all this with my own eyes. I realized that all what I read about how kings, conquerors, commanders, and the affluent used to enter with all their pomp and splendor was a nothing and insignificant in comparison to this entry of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that whatever love and devotion which one person had for another had melted and disappeared in comparison to the love and devotion which was exhibited by the Sahaba radiallahu anhum for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This entire scene became embedded in my heart and memory forever. And you can see the way he's describing it as if he was there. Then he goes on that I read the story of Uhud, the qualities of loyalty, devotion, bravery, faith, conviction, and noble character which manifested here were never witnessed by history in a greater, more unique, and more beautiful manner. How it happened in Uhud. Now we just know Battle of Uhud, but see, those that have real hearts, when they read these incidents, what it opens up in their minds and their hearts. I was completely shaken by the address of the Anas bin Nadhr radiallahu anhu to those who sat down and gave up the fight. They had said, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been martyred. So has the Anas radiallahu anhu made that historical statement. So what are you doing to live for? So what are you going to live for after him? If you say he's gone, what's the sense of living anymore? You should also die for the cause for which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam died. I was also shaken by the words of the one who said, I am getting the fragrance of paradise on Mount Uhud. Then there was the one whose final wish was to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam whilst he was in the final stages of his life in this world. Some people carried him to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam while he was panting for breath. He took his final breath at the feet of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Always reading as a young boy. Hazrat Abu Dujana radiallahu ta'ala anhu made himself a shield to protect Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All the arrows were landing on his back while he was bending over Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It became a human shield and he took all the arrows. In this way, and many other stories of love and sacrifice. In this way, I continued reading this book. Sometimes my heart will be overtaken and will be reduced to tears. Hazrat says, imagine now, 11, 12-year-old boy, they have innocent minds and they can perceive these things. Sometimes I would be overcome with joy and I would sway with happiness. The favor of this book and its sincere author, which I will never forget, is that it stirred the love which was lying dormant in my heart, a love without which there can be no joy in this life, and without which this world has no value. A Persian poet probably said on a similar occasion, miserable is the day which passes without my tasting the joy of love. Miserable is the day which passes without my tasting the joy of love. There is no blessing in the hour which passes without a breeze of love blowing. Woe to that life if I spend all of it subjugating it to my intellect and logic. No love. It is work and using his brain, but there's no heart. In fact, love is the sum total and core of life, love. A poet rightfully says, I looked at this world and saw that it was a vast place where the harvest is collected and ground. When I looked at it, I realized that love made up just one grain of it, while the remainder was straw and grass. Love was the main thing. Khair Sadr continues and he says, the greatest misfortune of this ummah is that it has cut off its contact with the heart. It's only, our Haji Baipad used to say, Pet Kamasla. He would say, what do you work in the whole day? To fill the stomach for the toilet. He would say, you're working for the toilet. To offload. You're looking for the toilet, he says. So you made the toilet so smart also. Smart toilets. Haji Sahib would say it in that way. He says there's no heart connected. The greatest misfortune of this ummah is that it has cut off its contact with the heart and has been deprived of the joy of love. The poet of Islam, Muhammad Iqbal, rightly said, the misfortune of the Muslims of this era is that they have hearts but do not know the beloved. They don't know who is the real beloved. They possess the material for love but do not know with whom to occupy it and where to direct it. Allah's peace be to you, O Sulaiman. I found two bounties in your book which cannot be surpassed by any bounty after the bounty of Islam. They are the bounty of pure love. Nabi Ali Salatu Salam said, La yu'minu ahadukum, that you cannot be a true believer. Hatta akuna ahabba ilayhi, until I am ahabba muhabbat. Until I am more beloved to you than your own parents, children, and entire mankind. You must love me more than them also. And the bounty of directing it to the correct place, these are really very great bounties. So Sheikh Abu Hassan al-Nadwi, this is how he fell in love with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he wrote many kitabs on the seerah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. He even wrote kitabs the Nabi of Allah in the light of his du'as. The du'as that he made, what was behind the du'a? What was in his heart? He goes directly to the heart of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. You can imagine Allah had blessed him. And he was the mufakir of the time. Mufakir, the thinker. He was a real thinker of the time. He was the one that gave the bayan in Burma. Where he says that I see dark clouds over Burma. If you won't change your people's lives, then there's going to be a problem. And what happened? They changed the currency like overnight. They had rooms of money. Our great grandfathers also had businesses there. And they had to run for their lives thereafter. So 1999, he's supposed to come, but then he didn't make it. He sent his one Khalifa, Mawlana Abdul Aziz Badkali. And in that Ramadan, Hazrat had passed away. We just need a few more pages just to share with you what Allah Ta'ala had blessed him with. And as I mentioned now, this letters that his mother wrote to him that made his tarbiyat. Alright, so she write to him, to my beloved Ali Sallamahu. Roma Ali, may Allah protect you. She gave him nasihat, he's in Darul Madrasa, I make du'as for him. All the letters have been reproduced in a kitab called The Ideal Mother. It's in English. Excellent kitab. The ideal mother, she has all, they reproduce all the letters to her son. Now if you know who he is, as I mentioned, passed away in India, Yom al-Jumu'ah, in the month of Ramadan, last 10 days, what a mot, reading, you would read, I think, quite a few Yasins on that Friday morning, he had a habit. He was reading Yasin at that time. And he passed away in that condition, that they had to make alan in both the harams, we read his janazah here in the haramain. So just to understand now, this few lines I'd just like to share with you all. So just for you all to understand, when he came to the road of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, what he saw over there. Now this, he just give you a glimpse of what was in his heart at the age of 11 or 12 years old. I just want to see if I can find it quickly. I'll just share with you all, inshallah. We just read a few lines and they will terminate. So here he describes, Allah Ta'ala had blessed him with a unique style of writing and his understanding of things. This all were created now. Remember now, he didn't go to the type of tertiary and secular education we had. He grew up reading kitabs, as you can see. And see how he writes also. Right, he didn't go for some journalist cause or something now to write kitabs like this. Wattaqullah wa yu'allimukumullah. Allah says, fear Allah, have taqwa for Allah, Allah will teach you directly. And how Allah Ta'ala taught him. That now till today, how captivates the heart. This chapter, I really enjoy reading. This also, once we're in Madina Munawwara, and I was thinking, ya Allah, I have to read something to revive the ruh. I downloaded this kitab, and as I was browsing through my phone, I came across this kitab, The Road to Madina Munawwara. It's been translated again by my Ustad Mawlana Muhammad Muhammadi from Verulam. So he redid the translation. Excellent translation. This is the updated version, right, of this kitab. So he writes, delegations of the Ummah in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now we go to the Rawda. What do we think in that time? What to do? That's how their minds work, the Akabir. They've got, their minds are on a different level, the world they're living in. So he says, that may Allah Ta'ala pardon the historians. Himself was a historian. Kitab is written on the ulama of before. There's a kitab called Some Saviors. Saviors of the of the Islamic Spirit. It's about four volumes, I think. Where he wrote on the ulama of before and what great people. He wrote many kitabs. So, like, when you speak about Imam Bukhari, he will tell you where he was born, when he was born, what time he was born, right? What age he began to study, how many ustaz he knew him like how he knows his friends. So all these ulama of the past, he studied them so in depth, like he lived in that world. He had a passion for it. Now you don't understand when I read these few lines. So you see, may Allah Ta'ala pardon the historians, meaning himself. He's amongst them. Allah forgive them. And those occupied with the study of history, because their historical temperament and inclination does not leave them, even when they are in the most sanctified places and the best of times. The mind still goes back in history. No matter where they are, they live in what they studied and connect the present with the past. That's a historian. He says, you know, this happened before. And it's now replaying. So he says, yesterday I was in the Rawda of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this now, so he says, this was referring to the area between the pulpit and the Qabr Mubarak of Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam. I was surrounded by a large crowd of worshippers and people in salah. Some of them were in the bowing posture in ruku, while others were in sajda. Yet others were reading the Quran Sharif. The recitation reverberated in the masjid and sounded like the buzzing of bees. All this ought to have caused me to forget about historical personalities for a little while. All is happening right now, we're seeing it. However, all historical memories pervaded my mind and heart like a cloud, and I could not repulse them. My mind was racing, back sitting there in the Rawda. It seemed to me as if the illustrious personalities and ulama of this ummah were given a new life. His mind is running, racing back in time. And were coming into the sanctified masjid in the form of delegations one after the other. It's a picture in his mind now, something is happening here. They were performing salah here, offering salam to this affectionate Nabi alayhi salatu salam, fulfilling the obligation of respect and honor to him, and acknowledging his favors to them. They were testifying, despite their different ranks, positions and eras, that it was he who removed them by Allah's permission from the pitch darkness to light, from wretchedness to happiness, from the worship of the creation to the worship of Allah Ta'ala alone, from the injustices of religions to the justice of Islam, and from the construction of this world to its vastness. The constriction of this world to its vastness. Now he's going in his mind, so I can see, oh, this great ulama of the past over here, and full up in the Rawda. They were acknowledging that they were indeed the products of Islam, the Prophet Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and their very existence and entire life are indebted to Nubuwwat. Allah forbid they were divested of whatever Allah Ta'ala honored them with through this Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the gifts which they received from his Nubuwwat was snatched away from them. They would become mere bodies without any ruh and soul, and a few lines and shapes with no purpose. They would return to the pitch dark era of history where the rule of the jungle and laws of tribalism prevail. They say, they're telling this to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you saved us from all of this. And the milestones of the present civilization and culture would be obliterated. My eyes suddenly looked up in one direction and I saw a group entering from Babu Jibril. Alright, you're sitting in the road facing towards the Qibla, then Babu Jibril is to your left hand side. Nowadays you really can't see it. You got Babu al-Baqi, then you got Babu Jibril, then you got Babu al-Nisah. Now when you go to the Rawda, or recently they'll take you to Babu al-Nisah from the back you're coming in. So if you go a little further is Babu Jibril, from that entrance, Jibril alayhi salatu wasalam is to come with Wahi. So I saw a group of men entering Babu Jibril, which was closest to where I was sitting. These people were immersed in peace and dignity. Remember, all this is in his mind now. This is what he's perceiving now in the Rawda. The effulgence of knowledge and abundance of intelligence were clearly visible on their foreheads. Like how sometimes you're sitting in the haram and you see now, I'm seeing your ulama walking in. Say, subhanAllah, yo, the ulama are here now. Or the awliya are here right now. So you see, I see these people walking in. And visible on their foreheads, they filled the entire area between Babu Jibril on the left and Babu al-Rahma on the right. It is not possible to count how many they were. I asked the guard. Remember this happening in his mind now. His mind is racing back in history. So he said, I asked the guard, who are these people? He replied, these are the great personalities of the Ummah, the Imams of knowledge, the benefactors of humanity, and the most distinguished examples of the human race. Each one of them is an Imam of an entire Ummah. He's a library himself, the founder and originator of a discipline, meaning a madhab, and the tutor of an entire generation. Their contributions remain eternal and extended over different eras and times and various regions. Several generations travel in the light of their knowledge, investigations, and research. The guard even named some of them hastily for me. So I'm looking at them. Who is these men? He says, don't you know them? Malik bin Anas, Imam Malik, Rahmatullah Alayh. Abu Hanifa, Nu'man bin Abu Hanifa, Nu'man bin Thabit, then Muhammad bin Idris al-Shafi'i, Abu Abdullah, Ahmad bin Hanbal, Lays bin Sa'ad al-Misri, Abdul Rahman bin Amr al-Awza'i, Muhammad bin Ismail al-Bukhari. Then he says, yeah, I know all these men. Is he naming all these men that are here? Imam Ghazali, Rahmatullah Alayh, Taqiyuddin ibn Taymiyyah, Muwaffaquddin ibn Qudama, Abu Ishaq, Al-Shatibi, Kamal ibn al-Humam, Ahmad bin Abdul Rahim, Al-Dahlawi, Shah Waliullah. They're all standing there. These are Imams of the times. And people now followed them in the generations thereafter. Although there were major differences among these personalities as regards their times, the countries from which they came, the lands which they inhabited, and the academic and religious positions, they all offered their respects, meaning the Salat and Salam, in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and shed tears of remorse. I saw them commencing with Tahiyyatul Masjid, performing it with humility and presence of heart. Then they proceeded with respect and humbleness towards the blessed Qabr of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They offered Salat and Salam to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam with words which were very concise, but had a lot of meaning, were deep-rooted and very lofty. It is as though their voices are still echoing in my ears. Their eyes were welling with tears, and their voices were subdued. They were saying, Ya Rasulullah, were it not for you, and were it not for your tolerant and extensive Sharia, which is eternal through time, were it not for its principles which concur with natural dispositions, its wise and miraculous system, which prompts a person to ponder and provides him with ability to extract and derive rulings, were it not for humanity's need for it in every time and climate, this grand juris fiqh would not have been codified, and this wise Islamic law, which no other nation and human society possesses, would not have come into existence. Nor would this massive Islamic library come into existence, a library before which every other religious library is irrelevant. Were not for your efforts in spreading knowledge and encouraging people to use their intelligence and to ponder over the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, neither would knowledge have survived, nor would it have spread as widely as it did. The human intellect would not have been freed from its shackles, and the world would not have been deprived of its light. So they thank Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. We'll just read the last one and then we'll conclude inshallah. So he said different groups came in. Find the last group. Right, so this was the muhaddisin, fuqaha, then the awliya, then the mujahideen, and how they gave the salat and salam. Then the Qurra came also. All the Qaris came. Right? But they came also. It was quite in quite a few pages. Looking for the final one. Kings came also. Rulers came that were just. And how they took from the teachings of Nubuwwat. Mujahideen also entered. The last part of it is quite interesting for the Masturat. When looking for it, then you can't find it. It says thereafter, it says that their eyes and touching words had not settled in my heart. There was a group before that, and mine as yet. When my eyes fell on another group, it was entering from Babu Nisa now. Nisa means women. The law of the women. With real dignity and decorum, this group was totally protected from and devoid of the external beautification and displays which are in total contradiction to Islamic principles and etiquette. It comprised of righteous women, the dead Jamaat came, of the pious women of the Ummah, belonging to different nations and coming from far off lands. They were the virtuous and righteous women from the Arab and non-Arab lands, from the East and the West. They were expressing their sentiments of gratitude and devotion in soft tones, with full respect and deference. They were saying, "Ya Rasulullah, we send peace and salutations to you, peace and salutations from a group which is very much indebted to you, Ya Rasulullah. Through the permission and power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you rescued us, the women, from the shackles and restrictions of Jahiliyyah, from Jahili customs, ignorant customs, from the oppressions of society and the excesses of men. You put an end to the custom of burying daughters alive." That was a norm at that time. Put an end to it. And you warned against disobedience to mothers. You say paradise lies beneath the feet of mothers. You included us in the inheritance and allotted a share for us as a mother, sister, daughter, and wife. You did not forget us in your famous and historical sermon on the day of Arafah. That I warn you in regards to your women, be kind to them. You said, "Fear Allah tabarak wa ta'ala with regard to your women, because you have taken them under your wing to the name of Allah." In addition to this, you encourage the men on many occasions to be just to women, to fulfill their rights and to treat them kindly. May Allah Ta'ala reward you on our behalf for the best rewards which are reserved for the Anbiya, messengers and Allah's righteous servants. These soft and subdued tones were still ringing in my ears when I heard the arrival of another group entering Babu Salam. So this is the what ulama ikram experience when they go to the road of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq also. These are the Mubarak days also, as Hazrat says, let the heart also go there. To Haramain Sharifain, the Hujjaj today is the our fourth and the fifth today. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, every night during these nights, used to go to Baytullah to make dua, to make tawaf. Well, let's spend our nights also in a correct manner, make it Mubarak, right? Engage in third kalima, dua, istighfar for the Ummah. Allah Ta'ala accept it, inshallah. Okay, tomorrow is our safar, inshallah. Tomorrow we'll be leaving also tomorrow evening. Madina Munawwara make dua. Allah Ta'ala accept it, inshallah. Allah Ta'ala make it a Mubarak Safar. Allah Ta'ala open the way for us to make it to Arafah also for Hajj, inshallah. But just to make it to Madina Munawwara already is, this is where the Ahad belongs, inshallah. Allah Kabul, inshallah. Make dua. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله، لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. يا أرحم الراحمين، يا أكرم الأكرمين، يا ذا القوة المتين، يا ذا الجلال والإكرام، يا رب البيت العتيق، وأرنا مناسكنا وتب علينا، إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. هو كريم رحيم الله. Allah, you bless us with another But these are Zulhijjah, O Kareem Rahim Allah. Give us the reality of these beautiful days, O my Allah. Ya Allah, the words and the hadith of Nabi Ali Salatu Salam. Grant us the reality, O my Allah. Accept the Hajj of the Hujjaj, O my Allah. Allahumma khfir lil Hajj. Wa liman istaghfarahu al Hajj. O my Allah, forgive the Hajj, O my Allah. For those that he make istighfar, Ya Allah, forgive the Ummat. Ya Allah, make the Hajj of the Hujjaj easy for them. Make it Mubarak. Make it a means of Hidayat and Khair and Barakat for the Ummat of Nabi Ali Salatu Salam. O my Kareem Rahim Allah, open our hearts, O my Allah, the enjoyments of Ya Allah, the different departments of Deen. Oh my Allah, purify and cleanse our hearts, our eyes, our tongues, our minds, and accept us for the khidmat of Deen, accept our families, our children, our progenies, the entire Ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Oh my Allah, we thank you for this beautiful Deen you have given us. Al-Yawma akmaltu lakum Deenakum. Ya Allah, this kamil, perfect Deen that you have given us. Ya Allah, give us a reality. Save us from deception of this dunya. Oh my Allah, accept us, our children, our progenies, our wives, our parents, our brothers, our sisters, the entire Ummah of Nabi Ali Salatu Salam. Grant us afiyah, sihat, and salamat, and sukoon. Oh my Allah, keep us with izzat, keep us with iman. Ya Allah, make it easy for us, oh my Allah. Bless us plenty of halal, save us from haram. Oh Kareem Rahim Allah, reward our Nabi Ali Salatu Salam. The best of rewards, oh my Allah. Ya Allah, raise him, oh Kareem Rahim Allah, and all the Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum. Oh my Allah, they preserved every sunnah of Nabi Ali Salatu Salam. Give us tawfiq, oh my Allah, to learn every sunnah, to practice every sunnah, to love every sunnah, and accept our lives in the khidmat of sunnah. Oh my Allah, reward our parents, oh my Allah, reward our grandparents, oh my Allah. Make them maghfirat. Ya Allah, reward our wives, O my Allah, for the khidmat they make for us, O Kareem Rahim Allah. Forgive us our shortcomings, O Kareem Rahim Allah. All those around us, all that have been kind to us, O my Allah, you reward them. Keep them in afiyah, sihhat, and salamat. Keep them in your rahmat and your mercies, O Kareem Rahim Allah. Ya Allah, we thank you for all your bounties, O my Allah. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas sami'u al-alim. Wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Jazallahu anna nabiyyana Muhammadan sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bima huwa ahlu. O my Kareem Rahim Allah, keep our hazat wa afiyah. Oh my Allah, reward him the best of rewards. Ya Allah, he taught us, Ya Allah, the lesson of muhabbat of dard dil, oh my Allah. Oh my Allah, keep him in good health, oh my Allah. Give us tawfiq, oh my Allah, to draw as much as we can from his beautiful heart, oh my Allah. Reward our dad, the Shaykh, and raise him and make his maghfirah, and all the ulama of Dioban, oh my Kareem, Rahim Allah. Rabbana, taqabbal minna, innaka anta as-sami'u al-alim. Wa tub alayna, innaka anta at-tawwabu ar-rahim. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Amin.